This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
So A.J. Brown has a mannequin that he bought that he just suited up in his Super Bowl gear, and that's his sports memorabilia piece from the Super Bowl, which I think is really, really cool. He's obviously going to get a Super Bowl ring and all that stuff, but I think having that, something like that, is really, really cool. Remember when Tom Brady was keeping his jerseys from the Super Bowl and they kept getting stolen? At least this one didn't get stolen. But at least A.J. Brown doesn't have to go through like a lawsuit, and it's not like a national story trying to find A.J. Brown's Super Bowl jersey.
Yeah.
That was a wild thing. That some apparently it was like just some journalist just taking his chance to take a Super Bowl jersey. Apparently,
risking it all.
By the way, part of this too, I forget where I saw this. This dude also had Von Miller's helmet from the Super Bowl that they won. I mean, look, man, I think those would be sick things to have. I don't know that I'm stealing them.
Yeah.
The one time that I've been tempted was I was in the Brewers locker room when I was interning in Milwaukee, and Christian Yelich didn't end up getting to take place in it, but he was going to, before he got hurt, he was going to take place in the Home Run Derby, and he had special bats for it, and they were just sitting in the locker. And I was like, man, that'd be cool to have.
How many bats did he have?
I think there were like three of them.
So if you try to take one, I think it's pretty – he'll notice
yeah.
right away.
Yeah, he would notice. But they were really cool looking. I can't remember what the design was, but they were cool looking bats.
They were like City Connect versions
yeah,
of bats.
Yeah, just like – you know how like Harp and those guys use special bats. So it would have been a cool one to have. Let's get out to the phones, 800-636-1067. What's the best piece of sports memorabilia you have, or what's something you wish you could get your hands on? Let's get out to the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Let's talk to Bobby and Lorton. Bobby, what's going on?
Hey, how are you? I love this topic. My 9 and 6-year-old boy are in the car, and they are loving this topic. Boy, say hi.
Hi.
Hey.
I collect a lot of jerseys. I've got Jordan, Mahomes, Brady, Otani, Messi. But the coolest thing I have is I actually went to the Hail Mary game this past season for the Commanders and Bears. And as soon as they threw the Hail Mary, I ran into the Redskins store in the stadium, walked in. I said, I want to pay whatever it is for the signed full-size helmet for JD. So I have it. I saved the receipt. As soon as I bought it, there were like two fans over there that were trying to buy it from me, but they didn't give me a good enough offer. So that's the coolest thing I have, and I'm going to hold on to it for a very long time.
That is awesome. Yeah, I would love something Jaden Daniels related. Bobby, appreciate it. Hopefully you
Absolutely.
And your kids enjoy the discussion.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Jaden Daniels stuff at this point is just such a novelty thing, right? I would love to have something Jaden Daniels. Speaking of which, if there was anything that I could have from that, could you imagine? I wonder who has the ball from that. Does Noah Brown have that? Does Jaden have that? Do the Commanders have that somewhere?
I would think Noah Brown has it. Kind of like, you know, Yan Gomes, I think, still has the ball from the World Series when Daniel Hudson got the strikeout. So I would think Noah Brown has it. I don't remember him spiking the ball. I remember him holding it, I think.
Yeah, I would think. No, I think he did spike it.
I have to go back and
I think he did spike it.
I'll have to go back and watch it for the 2000th time.
I don't know who has it, but that'd be something interesting to see who has that, because that would be a great piece of memorabilia. Let's get out to Patrick in Winchester. Patrick, what's going on?
I'm just breathing. I'm blessed to still be alive. I was just calling to say I have pictures of had a blessed childhood. So, you know, I had a picture of me and Mark Mosley together back when I was very young. And I have a picture of me and Dean Smith together. And I have an autographed picture of Barry Sanders when he was still playing. So basically not as good as some of the stories, but it is, you know, I got to see things in life.
Appreciate it, Patrick. So one thing that I think is cool about that, and I think he brings up a good point here. As I've gotten a little bit older, some of the things that I think are the coolest, like if I had to rank where I think, you know, of the type of stuff that I want, I think the picture with the player or picture with the person is up there. If they're able to sign it, it's even better. But a picture with someone, like, yeah, an autographed jersey or something like that's up there. But, like, if I could have a picture with Terry McLaurin or a picture with someone like that, that might top it. I know the article of clothing or a bat or a ball or a helmet, that's really, really cool, but I kind of think I like the picture. Now, some of that's a little bit easier to get, right? Like, I've gotten pictures with various people. You just, hey, you got a second? You just pop a selfie real quick with the person, so maybe it's not as special. The signed jersey or something like that's always going to be a very, very special novelty. But I think that's really, really cool when you can get the picture with someone. You know, because it shows that you were right there with the guy or whoever it is that you're. I think those are really cool. So that's not diminished. And by the way, he brought up Barry Sanders. I'm young. We've kind of established that for my time on air for plenty of times. I'm only 26 years old. I didn't get to watch Barry Sanders. If I had the opportunity, if there were two people that I could go back and watch in the National Football League, number one would be Barry Sanders. Number two would be Walter Payton. Watching those guys, I can only imagine how cool it was, because just there's something cool about a running back that it just seems like no one can ever get a finger on. Like, that you just can't grab a guy. And even when you've got him bottled up all game, here it is in the biggest spot, 70 yards to the house. Like, there's something great about that.
It's like watching Saquon, but Barry was even better than Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine social media at the time and seeing all the highlights of Barry Sanders. I mean, I watched him many times because I'm showing my age. I'm almost 40 now. But yeah, I got
old
to see
man.
Him play. Yeah, old man JT here. Barry was awesome to watch. That's like one of the rare players, because I generally would rather get stuff, memorabilia from DC Sports. Like, for me, if I'm going to get something outside of a DC Sports memorabilia, it would be around the Barry Sanders kind of player.
Let's get out to Charles in Leesburg. Charles, what's going on?
Hey, what's good, guys? So I actually have a couple good ones, but I have a signed 75th anniversary jersey for Jason Campbell. And I waited in line at the mall down in, like, Fairfax forever to get this thing autographed. I got it framed. I spent a boatload of money on the frame. Like, I love Jason Campbell. And so I got that one. And my mom, bless her heart, she bought me a Dwayne Haskins autographed football. So I got kind of two of, like, you know, I don't know. They just didn't turn out to be very good. But I did get Sean Taylor's autograph after a game on a little, like, football. So that kind of makes up for it, I guess.
Yeah, that's crazy. I appreciate the phone call. Jason Campbell, Dwayne Haskins, Sean Taylor. Obviously, you think about just the quarterbacks there, and they didn't turn into what you wanted them to be, the franchise guys. Obviously, tragic what happened to Dwayne. And then Sean Taylor, he's someone that I wish I could have been a little bit older to fully appreciate how good of a player he was in his short time with this team. He's obviously a franchise legend, someone that this team always honors and should honor. But I don't know that I fully got to appreciate. I remember when he passed away, I was in fourth grade. I was in my little Christian school classroom saying prayer request for the Taylor family with him passing away. So I wish I could have been a little bit older to appreciate him, because I just know that I would have really loved the way that he played even more.
I just remember him returning that block kick against the Cowboys, and then they got the face mask. I think Dallas was going for the win. I think Troy Vincent was actually the one that blocked it, and then Sean Taylor returned it. And then, of course, there were numerous fumble returns that he had for touchdowns that I remember where I was. And how about the Pro Bowl? I don't know if you were old enough to watch the Pro Bowl where I think it was Morstead.
Oh, yeah.
Where he laid the lumber.
He learned real quick that maybe you don't want to run a fake punt in the Pro Bowl when Sean Taylor's on the other side.
I know. Back when the Pro Bowl, I mean, still wasn't as good, but it was a heck of a lot better than it is today.
Brian Moorman, I believe, was the name. Am I right there?
Brian Moorman?
I think it is.
I think he played for the Bills.
Let's look up.
But I remember him saying afterwards, like, he liked it. Like, he appreciated it. He had no animosity towards Sean. Like, he welcomed it.
Yep, Brian Moorman.
Strange for a punter to say such a thing.
Well, I mean, you're opening yourself up to it. Real quick, before we move on, I want to get into some NBA discussion. Some pieces of memorabilia that I wish I could get my hands on. And then I also want to take, well, maybe we'll do another segment so we can look at some of the most expensive sports memorabilia as well. But some pieces that I wish I could get my hands on, maybe you can help me out with this. Maybe this is a beautiful platform to do this, because I look everywhere for it, eBay, just anywhere, Facebook Marketplace, anywhere. Can't find it. I want a real Redskins helmet, a real one, one that would fit my head. So I need an extra large, but I need one that, it doesn't have to be like game official, but one that I can wear. So that I can do two things. One, I got to swag it out a little bit. I got to throw on the visor. We got to get the nice Oakley visor. But the most important thing, even if I can't have the visor, the thing that I want to do the most is I want to tape up the face mask. You got to tape up the face mask in honor of Sean Taylor, right? I mean, that's so cool. It's such a cool look, by the way. I know that it wasn't allowed, but it's so iconic. You know exactly who it is. You don't even have to see the number, you know, you literally just see the Redskins helmet with the white tape around the yellow face mask, and you know exactly who it is. By the way, we keep talking about these different things with the unis and different things. Can we just go back to the old-looking helmet? It doesn't have to have the same logo, obviously, with what they're doing, but put the W on the side with the three stripes, the two white stripes and the yellow stripe, and a yellow face mask. That was such a classic look. It'd be different without the logo, I get that, but even the old school, my favorite uniform that they used to wear was the 70s uniform, where the yellow helmet with the instead of the
with the R,
the picture with the R. I love that.
I have that helmet.
That's my favorite helmet that they wore. Mm-hmm. And they could easily do that too, where they get rid of the feathers if they want to do that, and then just put the W in the middle. And you got the yellow helmet with the burgundy stripe in the middle, and you got the gray face mask, and there you go. That's the one thing that frustrates me about what the current state that they're in is all these other teams, like you've got the Broncos wearing the orange crush. Those are sick. This team has a long history, but you wouldn't know it because they don't have a throwback or anything. You can't tell. I wish there was a way that they could tie that in. I think what they're talking about with the uniform redesign and some of that, they're going to bring some of that back. So I would love to have a legit Redskins helmet that I can wear. I got a big head, so it'd need to be an extra large, but that's what I would love. Another thing that I would love, I talked about it earlier, the Jaden Daniels, Noah Brown, Hail Mary ball. That'd be awesome. And then this one's more so just because I'm a jersey guy, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be the exact jersey. I just want this jersey, like exact jersey. Not the one that he wore, but just this one. Steph Curry, when he hit the game, or not the game winning, the record-breaking three-pointer to become the all-time best three-point shooter in NBA history, was wearing a throwback Warriors jersey. I think it was at Madison Square Garden, and it's one of my favorite jerseys that they have. It's a blue jersey. It's a throwback where it's not as prevalent on the gold. It's red. It's got the red numbers and the red letters. It says Warriors across the front. It's like the old school Lakers jerseys where it's got the 3D look with it, where it's got the white behind it. Oh, it's my favorite jersey that the Warriors have worn. It's a throwback, got a little yellow around the sleeves and around the collar. Such a good look. I wish I could get my hands on that. I wish I would have bought that. I made a mistake. I'm usually a big jersey guy, and usually if there's a jersey that becomes something I really, really want, I just get it. That would have been one that I would have snatched. And then the other one that I made the mistake of, and I'm really kicking myself after watching the Netflix documentary on the Olympics, I wanted a Curry Team USA Olympic jersey, and I didn't get one before it sold out. I wish I would have, because he was the hero of that Olympics, and that would have been something I could have wore for a long time. I have a couple Team USA jerseys. I have a Drew Holiday Team USA jersey from the 2020 Olympics that was played in 21, and he actually played a big role in that, so I'm pretty happy with that one. And the one I was wearing yesterday was Trey Turner for the World Baseball Classic, which I wish they would have won it, but he was playing a big role in that one. So I would love that. Some of the other answers that I got from the guys before they headed out for G&D, Darris said he wants a home run ball that he caught. I think that's really, really cool. Don't forget that Ryan had a chance to catch one recently last year, and he actually turned his butt to it, so that was cool. Ryan said he wants a game-used Terry McLaurin jersey signed by Terry, and this is the coolest one. I thought maybe we'll get some callers after hearing this. Danny said what he wants in his man cave is a place where you can sit down in an RFK seat. An old RFK seat just set up somewhere where you can sit in it to watch a game or something, but an RFK seat, a seat from the old stadium, how cool would that be?
I mean, that is awesome. I would love that. What I have from RFK, I guess you could say, is the yellow cushions when...
The
seat cushion game when they beat... I was in the nosebleeds during that game, and we have two of those. Me and my father, we went to the game. We didn't throw it because we wanted to keep it, even though I was so tempted to want to just, peer pressure into doing it.
Yeah.
But I kept mine, so I do own the seat cushion.
So a cool one when... I forget which broadcast it was. I was filling in for Grant, I believe, out in Manassas, and... trying to remember exactly. I think it was that before the Detroit game, and someone brought in their, they had like glass over it. They had it in its own little container, kind of protected. They brought in real grass from RFK. I think it was from the goal line, he said, and we were rubbing it for good luck.
Mm.
Like, that's a really cool one to have. Certain stuff like that where no one else can have it or not many others have it is so cool.
I just forgot that I have a part of Coalfield House, Maryland Terrapins, part of the floor, part of the hardwood. I got a little piece of the hardwood from Coalfield House.
That's cool, too. That's cool.
I don't know how I left that one off my list.
I love that sort of stuff. Love that sort of stuff. We'll wrap up this conversation next. I want to take a look at the most expensive sports memorabilia of all time. We'll have Vic see if he can guess how much some of these things sold for. We'll do that next here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Friday night on 106.7 The Fan. It's overtime. Toby Altizer with you until 10 o'clock. Talking sports memorabilia. What's some of the best stuff you got? or what's something you want to get your hands on down the line? 800-636-1067. Can hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Also going to take a look at the most expensive sports memorabilia of all time. It's crazy when you look at some of the prices that some of these things go for. I understand that some of these things are really, really cool, and people obviously want to get their hands on them, and they mean a lot to a lot of people. But the numbers that get thrown around for these things, also, by the way, sports cards making a comeback is a little bit crazy to me, because sports cards were really, really big, obviously, years and years ago. They were big when I was a kid. I wouldn't think in the modern age, with how everything has changed and the things people care about, that sports cards would be so big, and yet you can't buy sports cards at the store anymore because they're always gone. I've got buddies that are big into sports cards, and I'll tell you what, the new big thing, Vic, the thing that people get into for sports cards is they'll go on these lives on TikTok or on Instagram or somewhere, and people like interact in the chat and say, I've got $50 for the next card you pull. Like, that's ridiculous. You literally just go on there and open up a pack of cards, and people are paying you money, taking pics on which cards they get, and paying you loads and loads of cash. It's a lucrative business now. It's crazy.
It's nuts. Did you see Mike Trout actually pull himself?
I think I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, with his son.
That's really cool.
He was just opening up the plastic open, and then he's sifting through it, and then the next thing, he looked like he was a 10-year-old boy again when he pulled at his own himself.
And I love the idea that they're doing now where they put these debut patches on guys, and then it becomes a special debut game. Like you saw what happened with the Pirates, where they were saying whoever pulled Paul Skeens' debut patch, that he was going to get a lot of things. And the kid actually pulled it in California, and he turned down the stuff that the Pirates were offering. Now, here's the question, Vic. Livy Dunn was offering for you to go to a game and hang out with Livy for a day. You turning that down?
that's tough to pass up on. That's tough.
I don't share much in common with a gymnast, but I think Livy Dunn and I can have a conversation.
But at the same time, I don't know if I would want to, only because nothing's going to happen. So why do I bother
I mean, she's a nice
I'm just going to be more jealous. When I go there, I'm just going to be more jealous. And knowing that nothing's going to happen out of this. So I don't want to even.
Valid.
That's
valid.
I don't even want to make it worse.
All right, Vic, let's play a game here. We'll start with the most expensive, according to Sportico, this article that I have in front of me. Let's see if you can take a guess. Do we want to go Price is Right style, where you can't go over?
Sure.
All right, so you can't go over. Most expensive piece of sports memorabilia ever sold is the 1932 Babe Ruth called shot jersey. So to give you some context, in 2005, it sold for $940,000. It sold this past summer for a whopping price of?
Let's go $9.9 million.
You're going to need to go well north of that.
Well
north of that.
$100 million.
Well, maybe not that north of it.
I'm going to go $23
million. $24.1
million. Jeez.
You paying $24.1 million for that?
I mean, if I had the money, absolutely not. I'm sorry, I wouldn't do that.
How about a 1952 mint condition Mickey Mantle card?
Do we have a previous price I can go off of?
No. Well, you know it's not going to pass to $24 million.
Okay.
So it's less than that.
All right. We got something there. Let's go $1.4 million.
Still quite a bit.
Okay. $8.8 million.
12.6.
All right.
12.6. All right. The third most expensive piece of sports memorabilia ever sold. 1998 Michael Jordan NBA Finals Chicago Bulls jersey. The jersey that he wore looks like, is this the one that he has the famous Game 6? I'm not sure if this is the last one.
This isn't the flu game, is it?
No. It wouldn't be the flu game. This would be the one with the push-off, non-push-off for the win. I'm not sure if, either way, this is a finals. I'm not trying to figure out if this is the exact one that he wore in Game 6 when they won. Regardless, a finals jersey from the Last Dance season. How much? So it's going to be less than 12.6.
Yeah, so I'll go 10.9.
10.1.
Oh, I bet I'm over.
10.1. Diego Maradona Hand of God jersey. I don't know what this is from. I know Diego Maradona. 1986 World Cup. Any guess?
9.6 million.
9.3.
But I'm still over.
All right, we got a few more. I don't even know what this is. The original handwritten manuscript by Pierre de Coubertin. I have no idea. I can't say it. It's probably French. Olympic Games Manifesto. This is from... He wrote the manifesto in eight. This was sold in December of 2022.
8.1 million.
8.8.
There we go.
Very close.
There we go.
All right, just a couple more here. This one I would be interested in because you get more than one. Lionel Messi's set of six 2022 World Cup match worn jerseys. This was the first time that Argentina had won the World Cup since 1986 when Diego Maradona did it, and you got Lionel Messi doing it. You get all six jerseys.
That's actually pretty neat.
Now, it sounds like he wore 12 different jerseys, one for the first half, one for the second half, and you get the six jerseys he wore in the different first halves of games. But still cool.
Mm-hmm. 7.4.
7.8. You're getting close. And not going over. I remember this one. Honus Wagner, the super rare card. Honus Wagner T206, because only 206 of the baseball trading cards were ever printed, and just 50 are thought to exist today. A Honus Wagner baseball card.
6.9?
7.25. Seven okay. And a quarter.
I'm pretty close.
All right, I think we got two more on this list, three more on this list, three more on this list from Sportico. 1914 Babe Ruth rookie card.
6.2. 7.2. Oh, all right.
Now, this is one that I feel like if you had the money would be worth, if this is your guy. Matter of fact, B. Mitch mentioned him earlier today as being his favorite athlete of all time. Muhammad Ali, Rumble in the Jungle Belt.
6.6.
6.2.
Ooh.
Last one on this list, one of my favorite players that I watched growing up, Kobe Bryant. 2007-2008 Lakers jersey.
Let's go 5.7.
Closest you've been, 5.8.
Yeah.
5.8. Could you imagine ever spending any of those numbers?
Nope. Even if I was a billionaire, I don't know.
What's the number? Here's one. What's the number you'd be comfortable? A guy called in earlier and said he wanted a full-size Jaden Daniels signed helmet.
All right.
What's the number you'd be comfortable spending on something like that?
Like... my actual real number yeah. with the money I have currently. Yeah.
We're not spending 5.8 million or billion, yeah. Yeah. whatever it is.
Yeah, to me, I would go $400. That's pretty much I can go with here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah, sounds about right. I'd probably in that same ballpark. I might go a little higher because I'm kind of one of those wackos that's big into those sorts of things. But
right.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm going to. I can guarantee you one thing. I forget whoever called in what his name was, but I guarantee you one thing. That helmet didn't cost $400.
Oh, yeah. We're Toby, you and I combined are not going to any auctions and winning anything.
No, unless we're winning a, like a Jake Irvin card or something like that.
Sure, or Mackenzie Gore, glove maybe.
I don't know. Maybe I'll ask Mackenzie Gore for a glove. That's more up my alley than actually buying one. Some of the sports memorabilia, man, that stuff gets really expensive. Speaking of sports memorabilia, I want to talk a little NBA as well tonight. We're hitting all the major sports. I want to talk NBA. There was an interesting discussion on a Yahoo podcast. A big-time NBA trainer was blaming fans for some of the issues with the modern game. We'll talk about that next, hear that audio next, and we'll react to it. 800-636-1067, you want to hop in. It's overtime here on The Fan. Welcome back. It is overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up until 10 o'clock tonight. Talking to NBA, 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. So one thing that was really cool that I watched on Netflix the other day is this Court of Gold. It's the Netflix documentary series that they had put together following the Olympics this past summer. Really, really good documentary. Makes you really appreciate a couple players a little bit more. One of them being Kevin Durant. The other being Victor Wembanyama. Some other guys as well. But I thought it was really, really cool. But it's funny to see the bump that you saw and the appreciation that you saw for the game of basketball during the Summer Olympics. And then now paralleling that to what you're seeing right now in the NBA, where all we've talked about these last couple weeks now, or at least this last week with the All-Star break, is how crappy the NBA's become. That's all we've talked about. Specifically the All-Star game, but then you look at just the NBA as a whole, and people are complaining about the style of play, this and that and this and that. Thought this was interesting. On a Yahoo podcast with Kevin O'Connor, Drew Hanlon is a NBA trainer, and he was on the Kevin O'Connor show on Yahoo and gave his thoughts on why there are some struggles in the NBA. And he doesn't think it's the players' fault. That's not a shocker. He trains the players, but he blames the fans. Let's hear what he had to say.
I really do think that the majority of the ratings issues, or, you know, how everyone wants to talk about what is broken basketball, the game's at its all-time best. Players are the most skilled they've ever been. They make shots more than they've ever been. The game's pace is up and down. The concepts and the details that coaching, you know, does is at an all-time high. It's the fan that is at an all-time low. Fans only care about hitting their parlays. They care about their fantasy teams. Fans don't really care about championships until it comes down to hating on people for championships. They just want
That's
their
individual.
Talking about individuals. Individuals. Meaning, like, so I'll give you an example. What is the biggest criticism of, let's say, Joel Embiid?
He hasn't got past a championship.
Hasn't got past the second round. Second round means nothing historically.
Efficiency drops in the postseason.
So I would say those are all fair arguments, right? But since when does a second round matter? Because people don't talk about, when they argue LeBron, Jordan, they don't say, well, Jordan got knocked out by the Celtics even though he averaged 40 points and he got swept, but LeBron went to 10 finals. They say LeBron didn't get it done in the championship.
Sure, people do say that, but it's silly to say. It's like knocking Tom Brady from making Super Bowls.
Yes.
Yeah, so he makes the Super Bowl 10 times. Yes.
What I'm saying is the only thing that matters right now to us fans is championships.
Sure.
So the problem is, I think that's an issue, because then it downplays the regular season. It downplays individual accolades. It downplays. So like Michael Jordan, when he averaged 37 points a game in a season, he didn't win the championship. Should we just say that's a bad season because he didn't win the championship because he didn't have a surrounding cast?
Of course not.
That's what I'm saying is, yeah. I think that has been downplayed.
So the curious part off of that is him saying the fans and some of the narrative around the NBA is the problem. And there's a couple things that I would say off of that. Number one, it ain't the fans who push the narratives around the NBA. It's not the fans. I can promise you that. It's a lot of the way that NBA media talk about the NBA, right? It's how they talk about the game. And look, I understand that there are, he brings up some valid points early on that the game maybe is played at a higher level than it's been played at ever. We can obviously argue that. It's a different style now than it's ever been. We can argue all these things. But I think the issue is, you know, it's not nearly as entertaining a product as it once was, and it can be, because you go back and watch the Summer Olympics, and those games were thrillers. Those games were fun to watch, and, you know, that's obviously incredibly skilled teams. You put together a team of, you know, the best Americans, you're going to end up with LeBron and Steph and KD and Jason Tatum and Anthony Edwards and those guys all on the same team. But I think part of the issue is that, yes, the narrative around the sport has gotten to a point that it seems to only care about championships, and I think that's a really valid point, that for whatever reason, we seem to only care about rings in the NBA, when in other sports, yes, we care about rings, and yes, that's a big part of it, but we don't only focus on the rings. We don't care as much about some of the other stuff. I think that's a valid point, but I think it's a little bit crazy to say that the fans are the ones to blame for some of the issues in the National Basketball Association. I just think that the way that the game is played now is a frustrating part of this, where if you tune into an NBA game, we're watching the Bucks and the Wizards right now, part of the novelty of sports is different styles of play, right? When you think of football, How do the Commanders play versus how do the Chiefs play? How do the Ravens play versus how do the Bills play? Right? Like, those are different styles of play, and they're legit different styles. Like, you can tell the difference. Can you tell a difference when you watch an NBA game on the style of play? A little bit, but not a big part of it. A lot of times, what is it? Space the floor and run high pick and rolls. A lot of it's the same. The players are different. The caliber of the player on each team, and some of those guys played a little bit differently. But a lot of the stuff is the same. And I know a lot of people like to blame the Warriors that were that dynasty with Steph and Klay and Draymond for kind of the change in the way the sport has been played, where it's a lot of threes, right? A lot of people like to blame the Warriors for that. But I actually think the way the Warriors played basketball was a beautiful brand. Yes, it was a lot of threes, but it was a lot of movement around the perimeter. It wasn't the same sort of action every single time down the floor. Versus now in the NBA, it seems like, I mean, I'm watching a possession now where they just ran a high pick and roll. They're doing the same sorts of things constantly, and it's just heaving threes, and it's not as entertaining of a product anymore.
Well, it's not as entertaining because, I mean, if you go back to the 90s, that's the kind of basketball that I liked when you watch the Heat and Knicks go after it. You know, that was just bully ball. That was who was strong in the post. That was just who was stronger. You know, there was no jacking up threes. And it actually had a good rivalry because I think the two teams didn't like each other. I feel like I see that anymore in the NBA where you just have two teams that really dislike each other.
Well, and I think one of the things that made the Olympic tournament a little more intriguing than what you see in the NBA is they let those guys play.
Yeah.
There is physicality that's allowed. And so when you want to fix some of what's going on in the NBA, I don't know that it's the fan problem like this trainer's saying. Because, look, even if he wants to blame the fans, say the fans were the reason that this is happening. You know who pays your check? The fans. So at the end of the day, whether you like it or not, what we do is entertainment, right? That's what we do in sports media. What the NBA, what the NFL, what the NHL, what Major League Baseball is tasked with is what? Entertainment. That's ultimately what it is. It's supposed to be the highest level of the sport that we played as kids. We're getting entertained by it, right? Well, if the fans think it's not entertaining, then you have to change. It ain't the fans that have to change. It's you that has to change. And I think the problem they're running into is, like I said, a lot of the stuff is the same. It's a lot of the same sorts of actions. You know exactly what you're going to see. And it's frustrating because I love watching good NBA basketball. There's really nothing like it. Because you say the college game, you know, you can watch that. I love watching the college game. And sometimes they run a more disciplined style. The shot making at the college level compared to the NBA level is not even close. It's not. The dudes that get drafted early on in the NBA, in the NBA draft, can barely squeak by with like 15 points a game in the NBA. Because it is that much higher of a level of basketball. I'm not even going to argue that. It's the highest level of basketball in the world. I have no question about that. But I think the way that the NBA and really basketball in a lot of ways has gone is just a way that I don't know that it lends to being the most entertaining basketball, because it used to be that there were different styles that you could watch, and now there are variations of the same style. Used to be when you were watching the Warriors, you know what you would get, but it'd be different from what LeBron and the Cavs were going to run. It was different than what Parker and Ginobili and Duncan were running with the Spurs. It was different than what these other teams were running. It wasn't all the same stuff. And now you tune in every single night, and yes, it's more skilled than it's ever been. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I'm watching a guy in Victor Wembanyama a couple nights ago playing against the Wiz, 7'3", knocking down three straight threes, and then coming down and knocking down a fadeaway jumper in the post. I don't know that there's many people in NBA history that can do those sorts of things at his height. It's an incredibly skilled era of NBA basketball. It's also led to an incredibly monotonous era of NBA basketball, and I think some things need to change. The other thing about this, too, is after watching this Court of Gold thing, they focused on three guys. specifically Americans. Outside of that, they focus on some of the other guys. Nicholas Batum was featured as a part of the French team, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for the Canadian team, and Dylan Brooks and some of those guys. But on the American team, they focused on three guys. Kevin Durant, LeBron, even though they didn't necessarily talk to LeBron a whole lot, but specifically like KD, LeBron, and Steph. Because it was going to be their last ride at it, going to be their last run at it. The question is, LeBron and Steph are the two guys, in my opinion, kind of leading the charge for the NBA. You know, if I'm a marketing guy for the NBA, who am I throwing on a poster right now to say, hey, come watch our product? LeBron and Steph. I'm going to throw on other guys, but those are the two lead dudes. Who's the next dude to take that? Who is? Because that's something the NBA has done to make, you know, that's how they've decided to market their sport, right? That's how it's become. When you think about football, they do market players a little bit more than they used to, but it's still largely teams, right? It's still largely about that because it's such a team-oriented sport. It's still a little bit like that in baseball in some ways, even though that's kind of individual as well. They haven't done as nearly as good of a job of marketing as the NBA has. But the NBA really went in on, we're going to focus on our stars, and that's how we're going to market. Well, who's going to be the next guy that's going to take that? Who is it? We'll talk about that next. We'll also take your phone calls if you'd like, 800-636-1067. Who's going to take the mantle from LeBron and Steph and be the next face of the league when those guys retire in the next couple of seasons? We'll talk about that next here on The Fan. Talking a little NBA here on Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 10 o'clock. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. So we were talking about the opinion that Drew Hanlon had about the NBA and some of the issues. Well, one thing that I think the NBA is going to run into is they've built a lot of their marketing on their stars. They're kind of built on the individual names that they have in their league. I don't think it's a bad marketing strategy. It made sense. The guys that they had were international superstars. The guys that they have are international superstars. There's no problem with that. But now you look at where they're at, LeBron's going to be done in the next couple of years. I don't know how many years he's got. Heck, he might be done after this year. I don't know. LeBron doesn't have long to play. Steph Curry is 36 years old. He doesn't have long either. I don't know how long. Might be two more years. Might be three more years. Might be after this year. We don't know. He's even talked about acknowledging the fact that he's in the last couple years of his career. He doesn't know when, but he's acknowledged that it could be coming to an end at any point. Who's the next guy that you're going to be, oh my gosh, that's the guy I got to go see? I think they've got a few in the NBA, but I think the issue that they run into now is there anyone that you go, oh, I've got to go see LeBron. I've got to go see Steph. I don't know that there's a lot of guys outside of them in the NBA right now that you feel that way about. I've been privileged to have seen a lot of these guys play. I've made it really ever since, you know, what happened with Kobe, which was super tragic, obviously. I told myself that there was never going to be an athlete that was someone that I just adored as a player that I wouldn't see play in person. And so I've basically accomplished that with everybody except for Patrick Mahomes in the current iteration of where we're at. I've seen Shohei. I've seen LeBron. I've seen Steph. I've seen KD. I've seen just about I've seen Jaden Daniels multiple times. I wish I could see Jaden every single Sunday because he's worth watching. I've seen Lamar. I've seen Josh Allen. And I've seen a lot of the guys that you want to see. Mike Trout. But when it comes to the NBA now, when those dudes retire, LeBron and Steph, who's the next guy that you're like, ooh, I've got to go to the Capital One Arena and see that guy. Ooh, I got to tune in and watch this guy. Who's the next face of the league? Because even if, so I want to go through some of the names here, but like, do they move the needle like LeBron or Steph did? Because I don't think they do. So ESPN did a top 10 list ranking their top 10 players going into this season of NBA basketball. Number one, they have Nikola Jokic. He's only 30 years old, so maybe he can fill that void. Does Nikola Jokic move the needle like those guys did? I love watching Jokic play. He's someone that's incredibly unique. I don't know that he moves the needle like LeBron. I don't know that he moves the needle like Steph. How about number two, Luka? Which, by the way, I think it shows you the state of the NBA and where they're at. How many people do you think were tuning in to see coverage of the Luka trade? A lot of people, right? Everybody was dialed in to see what the heck is going on. Luka trade this, Luka trade that. How many people actually tune in to watch Luka play for the Lakers? Probably not that many, because they probably don't care. They view it as the drama. They love it. It's like TMZ. It's like these gossip magazines. People love those things, right? They eat them up. Well, that's what the NBA's turned into, because people were eating up this Luka trade. I can tell you one thing. I'm not going out of my way to watch Luka play for the Lakers now. I don't care. I'll probably watch when Luka goes back to play in Dallas. But it's not like it changed anything. So that's kind of the state where the NBA's at. Now, does Luka move the needle like Steph or LeBron? A little bit, maybe. Not nearly as much as those guys. Number three on this list, Giannis. Love Giannis. Absolutely love Giannis. Last year, or a couple years ago, I went and saw the Bucks when they were in town against the Wizards at Cap One, and everybody that was there to see Giannis. So I get that. And he still does fill up arenas. These other guys do fill up arenas. Do they move the needle for the league like LeBron and Steph? I love Giannis. I don't think he does. How about number four on this list, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander? I can tell you one thing for sure. He does not, because they don't even feature him enough. This guy plays on the Oklahoma City Thunder. And everyone still thinks that the Thunder is the joke that they've been for quite some time since KD and Russ and James. They're not. They're good. They have millions of draft picks. No one cares, though. Number five, Jason Tatum. I can tell you one thing. Jason Tatum doesn't move the needle because darn near half the people in the that like basketball don't even think Jason Tatum's that good. I think Tatum's a solid player. The jokes around Tatum after he won the NBA Finals are absurd. Then it gets down to number six is still Steph Curry. Number seven is still LeBron. Number eight is Joel Embiid, who never plays basketball. Number nine is KD. Now, this is the most intriguing name on this list, because I think it's twofold here. Number 10 is Anthony Edwards. Because the interesting thing for me on this, watching that documentary on Netflix, is when you watch how they had to win the gold medal in Paris, who did it rely on? Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and Stephen Curry. Who's not playing in 2028 in LA? LeBron James, Stephen Curry, and Kevin Durant, more than likely. So who's going to step up? Because I can tell you one thing, just because those guys are retiring doesn't mean that I don't still expect the USA to walk home with the gold in men's basketball. So who's going to be the next great American star? Because if you notice a trend up here at the top, number one, Nikola Jokic, Serbian. Number two, Luka Doncic, Slovenia. Number three, Giannis, Greece. Number four, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Canada. That's the top four players in the NBA. They're not American. Jason Tatum, fifth, American. Okay, that's good. Steph, these guys. Who's the next great American star? Because that's huge. Because I'm just thinking, Olympics. We just watched the Four Nations. I can tell you one thing. I'm not going to feel good. You know, like, how would Canada have felt if the U.S. beat them at their game? Not very good. Not good at all. How are you going to feel if the rest of the world starts beating the U.S. in men's basketball? I can tell you one thing. It's going to suck. When they lose a game, I'm devastated. When they don't win by 30, I'm frustrated. So can you imagine if they start losing games? Because who's going to step up in these spots? When I asked some of the guys before they headed out, Danny and some of the guys, Anthony Edwards was the name that came up to me as the next U.S. superstar. Is that who you would agree with, Vic? Who's the next U.S. superstar to lead this next decade plus of U.S. hoops?
I mean, by default, it would have to be Ann Edwards. What, right? I can't think of
it's
anything
him
off
or Jason
top of my
Tatum,
head.
It seems like.
Well, Tatum could barely see the floor, so we're talking about the Olympics.
Well, I think that's a Steve Kerr thing more than a Jason Tatum thing. But yeah, I think it's got to be Anthony Edwards. It's just a little bit concerning to me where the NBA is headed. And then for the U.S., who's the next great U.S. guy? Who's the next U.S. guy to win an MVP?
I don't know.
It's got to be Edwards. Is it in the next 5 years? I don't know.
It's Cooper Flag. Maybe.
Maybe it's Cooper Flag. Yeah. You know what? And hopefully it's here in D.C.
Yeah.
Poop for Coop, as they say, right?
Yeah.
That's what they say. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's dive into Major League Baseball. They're implementing a automatic balls and strikes challenge system in spring training. Do we want to see that come to the regular season? We'll talk about that next here on The Fan.